It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
A belated happy Easter, joyeuse Pâques, and a sweet Passover, Zisin Pesach, to you all. And while I'm at it, Ramadan Mubarak. When it became apparent that my sister and brother-in-law would be traveling through the Hudson Valley at the end of last week, I decided that it would make sense to move the ritual Passover Seder meal to Friday, midway between the first night of Passover and Easter Sunday. Because of the co-occurrence of the holidays, Eric and I discussed possibly having a fusion Seder Easter feast in which Coquille Saint-Jacques would take the place of gefilte fish and a roast ham would substitute for the brisket. But the challenge of melding a holiday meal built around a bread that didn't have time to rise with one symbolized by bread that has risen is confounding. Two different stories, matzah and hot cross buns. Sometimes you have to simply recognize the real differences. So we proceeded with a traditional Seder, albeit on Friday, and with the Christians outnumbering the Jews, and with a traditional Easter dinner on Sunday, with the Jews, conversely, in the majority. This approach allowed us not only to recognize the differences, but appreciate them. The same process of recognition and appreciation might be carried over to the farm, where the effort to understand the livestock I raise involves a constant struggle to figure out how they are like us and how they are different. You may recall that a few weeks ago I was struggling to find the best way to raise Doodle, the lamb rejected by his mother. Let him accompany me as his substitute mother and get first chance at the food I distribute? That's my approach. Or restrict him to staying with the flock to let him learn to be a regular sheep? That's Eric's. Or take a middle course of excluding him while distributing the feed, but giving him extra treats on the sly. My friend Steve. Many of you sent in thoughts. While most voted in favor of my indulgent approach, thank you, Eric's sister Kathleen offered what turned out to be the most sage advice. She said, do a little of each, more or less predicting how it has all played out. No sooner had I put the options on the table than Doodle himself started showing conflicting desires, sometimes hanging back with the herd, sometimes insisting on coming in with me, sometimes looking for special treats and attention after the fact. As Doodle separated himself a bit from me, I took more time to keenly observe the other sheep during feeding. I noticed, for one thing, that Doodle was not the only one in need of special help. He's somewhat vulnerable for being younger and smaller, but equally vulnerable are the oldest ewes like Nilifer, now 15 years old, and Lale, now 14. Nilifer, particularly, is subject to being bonked out of the way by younger, stronger ewes at the feed bowls. I've taken to letting them both stay in the main part of the barn while I'm distributing the food to give them a head start, and often end up hand-feeding Nilifer on the side. The herd is, in fact, incredibly rough on any more vulnerable sheep. While they're quite respectful of ewes giving birth, taking pains to avoid walking anywhere near mothers with newborn lambs, it only takes days before they treat those lambs as entirely on their own. Last week, I observed a lamb mistaking another ewe for his mother and approaching her as she was eating her grain treat. She bonked him out of the way so hard with her head that he ended up splayed out on all four legs a couple of feet away. While I'm convinced that ewes and their own lambs feel love for each other, it seems that caring between sheep unrelated by mother-lamb ties is in very short supply. In that respect, I'm quite sure that humans are different. We may not always offer generosity, but we are surely capable of it. I need look no further for evidence than the sojourn of my friend Matt this last week on the farm. Matt, a civil engineer by training, has all sorts of skills that are invaluable on the farm, but which I sorely lack, including understand how things work mechanically. He also likes the hard physical labor part of farm work. Not for nothing do we refer to him as Macho Matt. In the space of the week, even while doing his office work several days, Matt fixed two major gates. He mined the former pig pasture for metal fencing and posts that could be repurposed to define the new parameters of the vegetable garden. He installed three recycled gates at the garden entry points and began installing the fencing there. He fixed a wheelbarrow and reconfigured a pen in the barn that the sheep had managed to destroy. Most important, he dismantled the jerry-built front of the chicken coop, installed new gate posts, lintel, threshold, and crossbars, and reinstalled the door to that pen so that it works properly. Once we rewired the front of the coop, it was entirely renewed as a safe space for the chickens. Even after returning to the city, Matt has been in touch, mulling designs for new roosting bars for the turkeys that will arrive in late May. Though Matt claims he does this for the pleasure of it, it represents a generosity of spirit that I am pretty sure the sheep do not possess. We should recognize how human generosity so exceeds that of animals and celebrate the difference.
Agriculture is underwritten by Turkana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.